All right, call her one to watch, unless you already know that. We have the winner of season 5 of The Rap Game on Lifetime TV.
Yes,
Teen rap sensation, Tyler Rain.
Hi.
Thanks for coming here to Olympic and Bundy.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You got it. All right. She is 17 years old.
Yes. 17. Opened up for Yo-Yo, opened up for Busta Rhymes, opened up for Tekashi, opened up for Sweetie, opened up for Bad Baby, opened up for Ice Cube.
Drop the names, girl.
Who else? It's a whole entire list. But yeah, I'm on shoe at the age of 17. I have two of them with Vlado Footwear.
Okay, stop right there. I want to introduce from Vlado Footwear. Be Mike Rob.
Hey, how you doing? It's your boy, Big Mike, a.k.a. Big Mike Rob.
And we have known each other a few years because I did a story on you with you because you've been in this game for a minute.
Yes. And I say it all the time. She's so humble, but I always bring the humbleness out of her. Christine Devine is the reason that I started getting the exposure that I'm getting today.
And I'm saying he's lying?
No, that's not true.
You have been empowering the youth for a long time, and that's what I love about you. You empower the youth.
Yeah, but at the same time, like I said before, it's all about when someone recognizes that, and it's not that you're looking for that, because I didn't go into this for that, but it opened up a lot more doors.
Okay,
so we appreciate that.
Thank you. Before we meet Dad, how did you two meet, Tyler?
Mike has been watching me, and we've been watching each other for the past couple
Same
years.
Same here. I've been watching him.
Yeah, exactly. Then
he told me about you. I've been watching you.
We've been watching each other for a couple years now. I was 12 when I was like, okay, so Mom, we need to get a meeting with him. So he was like, okay, I'll take a meeting with you. Because in the industry, you never turn down meetings. So you never turn down a meeting. Because if you make meetings, you can make connections. So we took a meeting and everything. And he wasn't going to manage any more artists. I was going there like, okay, so you're going to manage me or what? Like, what's going on? And then he looked at me and was like, yeah. Well,
That's the truth. I mean,
that's the true story.
She pretty much she came in and I'm looking at the situation like when a parent brings an artist in or their kids, I automatically assume that they're going to be talking for her. And she at 12 years old, you know, she pretty much took on the meeting and she leaned back in her chair after she played me her songs and stuff, and she leaned back and said, "So are you going to manage me or what?"
She wanted
Literally.
You.
And that, yeah, and from like there, that. From there, I was like, she's the, just how I could tell the passion was there. And I didn't want to manage anymore after doing, you know, working with Tyga, Ray Shrimmer, New Boys, Audio Push, and all those groups. I was just like, you know what, I want to worry about my own brand. But, you know, she came in and wowed me.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, so what I love about you, Tyler, is that you are, I'd say, from an industry family, yes. And a lot of us follow in our parents' footsteps.
Yes.
And so do you want to introduce your dad?
My dad has sung for Charlie Wilson, been on tour with Britney Spears, NSYNC. I'm going to just let him tell you. Go ahead, Dad.
Chino. We call you Chino, yeah?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing,
Mr. But your name is?
Richard.
Okay. But they can find you as, okay, go ahead. Just go ahead and sell yourself because we want people to know what you're doing and what you've done.
Okay. Well, my name is Chino. I'm Tyler Rain's dad. I've been in the industry over 20 years. I'm a vocal coach, a vocal arranger, and a singer. Been on tour with Charlie Wilson, Sunshine Anderson, NSYNC, Britney Spears, sung background for Charlie Wilson, Jamie Foxx.
Love him.
Jamie
Love
Foxx, him too. Rest in peace, James Ingram. Yeah. And I'm a new member of the group as yet, but we renamed it AY 2.0.
Okay, so what I love about what you just put out there is that you know the industry. You
yes,
know
ma'am.
How it works. You know the ups and the downs. So when your daughter wanted to be a rapper, how old, Tyler?
I was 8 at the time when I told him I wanted to be in the music industry.
Did yes. you know it was rap, though?
I just knew it was music. I didn't know it was rap. I didn't know anything. I just knew it was music. I wanted to be in the music industry. And then I started rapping, and I was like, okay, that's the rap. There we go.
But she started out as an actress.
Okay. Well, because you entertainers do it all.
Yes.
I started out as an actress, but then, you know, everybody wants you to conform, and that's what they wanted me to do, and they wanted to take me out of my element. And I was like, I thought I could be myself in this situation, but then I was like, yeah, nah, this isn't for me. So I went to my love, which is music, and to where I could be myself and not have to change for anything or anybody. But, you know, life comes around in a full circle. I'm about to get back into acting. Got some more TV shows under my belt, so yeah.
Well, I think when you're an entertainer, you kind of do a little bit of all the arts.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
So, Dad, what did you think when she said rap is what I'm going to do and not necessarily sing as a vocalist necessarily?
Well, I'm not one to say, no, you got to do this. It was whatever she wanted to do, you know, whatever was comfortable for her. She's grown up around music all her since she was born. You know, I used to play, she's has kind of an old soul. So I played like Donny Hathaway and Sam Cooke, Anita Baker and Babyface and Silk, New Edition.
The icons.
The icons. Yes, yeah. So she grew up around music, and my wife is a dancer. She danced for Mary J. Blige, Next. Whitney Houston.
Can you all adopt
Brandy?
Can you all adopt me?
Okay. So it's in her blood. So when she says she wanted to do music, I was like, are you sure? Because it's not easy.
I had to go through this whole trial period and everything with them. Like, that was
they
like,
had to show. She had to show us.
Like, it took me a year to show them, like, okay. They had to see, like, is this really what she wanted to do? So I proved it to them and everything.
And a lot of people think because me and my wife was in the industry, everything was going to be given to her. Like, oh, y'all got the connects. Y'all can just walk her through. She earned every single step.
Thing. Well, I'm going to believe that because this is L.A. Olympic and Bundy. We're in West L.A.
Yes,
Fox
indeed.
11 News here.
Absolutely.
In L.A., every celebrity has a kid, and many want to follow in their parents' footsteps or be in the craft of whatever. I wanted to be a teacher like my mom. So it's natural that kids can want to do that. So, Mike, you've seen a lot of parents.
Lots.
You've seen a lot of kids. What
Lots
was it about
kids.
This family that made you think they're really going to do this?
It wasn't really about the family in the beginning. It was more so about I've seen so many kids in this industry, and to know that I can tell when a kid has a passion, because you can tell when you can tell when they want to be either famous or you can tell when they want to be successful. And those are two things that I always look at, because, you know, when you're dealing with kids, their attention span is, you know, they'll come to me and say, hey, can you manage me? And it's like they don't even understand what a manager is. So automatically, when she came to me, I already knew the passion. And plus, from watching her out there, really, like, we call it the grind and the hustle, the gristle.
Mm-hmm.
We're out there watching.
The gristle.
Yeah. So out there, while she was out there doing that, it opened my eyes to the fact that, okay, you know what, I can give this one more try and see. Yeah. And that's what pretty much, you know, drew me to her. And we after we started engaging and stuff like that, I met her father. And then when I met him, it was like, brothers from another mother.
From another
mother.
We've been
like this for the last 5 years.
Yes,
so.
Indeedy. We ride or die together.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. If he jumps off a cliff,
he's going to jump after me.
I got to think about that.
I'll be the one that calls 911. I will be there for you. Well, Tyler, I don't know if you know this, but my husband is a rock musician, bass player on
Rock. No, rock star. Let's get it right.
Well,
yes.
Okay.
Anyway,
he's worked. But so I took on some artists just to mentor them, which Mike knows this. Mm-hmm. And after kind of playing momager mentor, I told my husband, "Don't you ever complain about your manager ever again."
Right.
It's a lot of work.
We're glorified babysitters.
and something always goes wrong.
Yeah.
Right. So what is it about Big Mike that really sealed the deal for you? That's working for you.
He understands and he believes. He doesn't just jump in it. If he doesn't believe, he's going to tell you. But he, from the jump, I knew that he believed in me and believed in the process. And he always was just like, I'm going to do what I need to do. He was very honest. I'm going to do what I need to do, but you're going to have to do your part. And if you don't do your part, I'm not going to do my part. I'm not going to be doing all the legwork and you're just sitting back with your legs popped up. That's not what we're doing.
It is a business.
And then he's very positive about everything. And we all work hard. That's what I love. We all work hard. We're in a positive environment. And Yeah, he's like my dad, my second dad.
Yeah, he's like a second father.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that about the work, because I thought when I met my husband, I didn't know anything about music. And I kind of said to somebody, oh, it's just fun and games. It's one big party. And a woman said to me, the musicians I know work really hard.
Yeah.
And I've learned that now.
It's a lot.
It's long hours and long days.
Yes. Long nights. Sleepless nights.
And so you're homeschooled.
Yes, I've been homeschooled since middle school, sixth grade.
And that allows you to go on auditions.
It lets me go travel. It allows me to do anything that has to do with work. I'm able to do because all my schoolwork is on a computer.
Do you ever feel like you're missing out, like being on the tennis team in high school? And
I do.
Because I
haven't been to prom or anything.
Yeah.
This is my last year I'm about to graduate. Okay. So it's like now I haven't been to prom. I'm not going to graduate. Traditionally, like walking across the stage, I get my diploma emailed to me. I got to print it off. So it's like I'm missing certain things, but I don't regret it at all, because at the end of the day, I'm doing what I love to do and something great is coming out of it. So
I think we're the ones that pretty much feel like we regret it.
Yeah.
Because we've been there,
you regret it for her.
For her. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because we wanted her to experience the prom. And we want her to experience the graduation of walking across the street. Just that whole, just the whole environment of, you know, being a people person with your own peers. Because she's more like advanced. Well, women, period, are advanced more than men. We all know that.
Well,
but
thank
still,
you. That is clinically proven.
Yeah, thank you for that.
But I mean, it's she's, you know, she's older. She's older in her mind and the way she acts around her peers because of the fact that she's been around us so much.
Dad, some parents would say, no, you're going to be a kid first, and then if things happen for you later in life, that's going to be the way it is. But you're going to live a normal kid life first.
Absolutely, and she did live a normal kid's life. She's still here. she has had a normal kid's life
up until fifth grade
because a little quick story, she was acting and stuff like that. She was a Gerber baby, and about when she was like 3 or 4 years old, she
it's
had
the
a
eyes, isn't it? It's the beautiful eyes.
She had a manager and she had an assistant at 4 or 5 years old. So, you know, she's.
It was
that,
happening.
That star out there it when she happening. Goes on her auditions and stuff. And when she came home, she was a kid again. You do your chores, do this, do that. You still have everything to do. And she came home one day and was like, no, I ain't doing my chores. Do you know who I am? At 5 years old. And my wife looked at me like, oh, really? We snatched out of the industry.
Oh.
You know, because okay. See, at 5 years old, if can you imagine a five-year-old telling their parents, like, no, I'm a star. I don't have to clean my room. Or I don't have to finish eating my food.
And so you said, wait a minute.
I said, hold up now.
Okay.
Watch out.
Skirt.
Mama.
You're about to get a dosage of real life.
Okay.
We moved back to Baltimore, Maryland, where I'm from. And it wasn't Hollywood. It wasn't California. Baltimore is a...
It's the wire.
It's the city life. It's real life. They say Baltimore is like crabs in a barrel. Every time you try to get out, somebody will pull you back down.
Mm. And that's where I got my tough skin from.
And that's where she got her tough skin from. And she lived there. She was the only girl. I have all nephews. She was the only girl. So she was, you know.
I was around boys, so they toughened me up.
We toughened her up. She was still feminine. Don't get me wrong, but she had that skin like, okay, cool.
So you moved back to L.A. when?
When I was 12 years old.
12 years old.
Okay, and then got back in the biz?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Music and everything.
She had to prove to us because...
Yep. That's what that year period was, when I had to prove to them that I was really serious. And like I knew like this is what I wanted to do. And they was like, you're not going to waste my money. You're not going to do this. You need to make sure, because it takes a lot of sacrifice and it takes a lot of time, dedication, and money to do this. So and,
yeah, it does.
We gave up everything. We moved. At the drop of a dime.
Okay, so then let's get to the rap game on Lifetime.
Yes, ma'am.
One of our more fun reality shows out there that allows young people to show off their rap skills,
yes.
To battle, to compete for the...
So-so Def Chain. And
which you're wearing right now.
Yes, which I'm wearing at the moment.
I'm going to post a photo of the So-so Def Chain. Yes, it's pretty cool. Does everybody want to look at that?
Yeah, everybody wants to look
at it.
It'll
match your outfit, too.
Yeah.
Well, oh, very much so.
Everybody wants to look at it and touch it, and they always ask, is it heavy? I'm like, no, not really.
Because it looks like it's heavy.
Oh, it's not. It's not at all. It's very light to me. It's light to me.
Well, congratulations. So how did that – I mean, there are a lot of TV shows out there. How did that show happen for you? And a lot of people competing to be on them. So how did you get on the show?
It was more social media based. So they were the production company and Chewy Dipper and Jermaine would be like, have all your
fans.
Jermaine Dupree. he would say, have all your fans tag me at Jermaine Dupree at Lifetime at Intuitive Entertainment to get noticed by Jermaine Dupree and to like get to start the audition process. And then we have all my fans submitted through the website, the Rap Game Casting. So then they emailed and was like, hey, this is the Rap Game. We want to do a Skype audition. And that was October of 2017. So the audition process took a really long time because we had to do psych evals and background checks. And I didn't really know until February of 2018 that I was actually on the show, because that's when they sent contracts, that's when they sent plane tickets. And at the top of April, I was out to Atlanta.
Okay, so is everybody on the show like at your level when they started on the show? That with your background, were they all doing it like you were?
Yeah, they were all doing it like I was. They were all in the music industry and everything. Some were in it for 2 years, some were in it with three. There was another competitor on there. Shout out to Sire. He was actually doing it the same amount as I have been doing it. So
true competition.
True competition. But I didn't look at everybody as competition.
No?
No.
How do you look at them?
We were all in a different lane. We're all different artists. So at the end of the day, I lived with them day in, day out. So I knew what type of artist they were, and I knew what type of music they wanted to do. So I didn't look at them like, oh, okay, I have to be scared of that one. I didn't have to do anything of that. So it was just like reassuring myself, like, okay, I can do this. And yeah, I didn't look at the rest of them as competition like okay. that.
And Mike, you were already working together then?
Yes. Yeah, we were already working together. Actually, when they got on the show, we pretty much started putting that plan together to make sure that when she went there that she was, you know, her mind wasn't frazzled and stuff yeah. like that, because you know they can play tricks on your mind. And
so then
and
I was prepared. I went to therapy before.
Yes ma'am we got ready.
I went to therapy 3 weeks before. I was already in a Rap Game boot camp at home and everything, yeah. just so when I got yeah. there, I wasn't caught off guard by anything. But the only thing I was caught off guard was the battle raps every week. That's the only thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you not like a battle rapper?
I'm not a battle rapper at all.
And that's like off the cuff, right?
Yeah.
It's not off the cuff. You have to like, I don't know. You have to size your opponents up, basically.
Gotcha.
And, like, I lived with them, so I knew, like, all their dirt. I knew all their tea. I knew everything about them. So I had to use that against them. But being that I didn't want to do that because I had brands to work with and I had an image to uphold and I had all these things that I knew were in the works, I didn't want to ruin that by just going below the belt.
So it defines the kind of rapper that you are.
Yes, it does. I never was the come at your throat, slice your neck off type of battle rapper in the house. I was more of metaphorically, and I played around with words where you knew I was vicious, but I wasn't disrespectful.
But she did what she had to do.
But I did what I had to do.
Absolutely.
I did what
well,
I had
clearly.
To do.
It was a challenge.
Pushing the corner.
Right
it was,
now
it was a challenge for her.
It was yeah. a challenge.
It was many crying nights she'll call me because I didn't go there with her.
Those shows are tough.
Yeah, shout out to my mom, because me and my mom went through that whole 10 weeks together.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, mommy. Because we went in that house and you always think you're prepared for something. But when you get in that situation, you're like, oh, this is not what I think it is. So.
Well, my girlfriend was on the show Survivor.
Oh,
and
wow.
she has a great story. Yeah. Wow. She was a police officer, so a true survivor. Mm-hmm. And she had been shot,
so
a true survivor.
True survivor.
Yes, and even then, that show tested her and just the different personalities.
Yes.
And it
yes.
can get mean, it can get low, and some people can not appreciate you. So I understand that. But about being prepared, I have respect for you all, because I told her, we should get you a publicist. Now's the time we get you a publicist. We get your story out there, because there was more than just being on a reality show.
Of course.
Yes.
We weren't ready. We didn't get the game plan to launch.
We have four seasons. We have 4 seasons to look at. So we, all our team, binge watched all 4 seasons, and we studied each what every other winner did and what all the other kids did and what they didn't do. And we was like, okay, we're going to triple that. We're going to quadruple.
Yeah, before she got off the show. She had a shoe before she got off the show. So it didn't matter if she won or not. It was gonna look like she won regardless.
Yeah, that's what I always tell people. It was like, I went there and did what I had to do, no matter if I won or if I didn't win. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I thank Lifetime and I thank Jermaine and I thank Intuitive for that.
And
platform.
The beautiful thing is she had a team behind her.
Yes.
A lot of people don't have a team.
Well, that's what I feel like with my friend. Obviously, she doesn't do, you know, entertainment for a living, and she went back to police work. But I thought that was the time you write your book.
You build the SRI.
That was the time you have your press release. Yes. That was the time you do speaking events.
And when it's hot, it's hot.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just cool. What it is. And you know how Los Angeles is. It's like a dime a dozen here.
Mm-hmm.
There's crabs in the barrel trying to get out.
Yeah.
So it worked out for her. She had a lot of. We as a team came together, and you know the platforms that I put together for the youth. It was perfect timing for her. So it was a great platform.
I know, Mike. You had talked to me about her. And I just followed you today, so forgive me. I'm one of your 101,000 followers now. I'm number 101,000. But Mike, you had talked to me about her before, so I've kind of had my eyes on you for a minute. And I remember she got the shoe deal with Vlado Footwear. So talk about that.
Well, that was actually a surprise for her, you know. But we talked about it. And I asked her, everything that we do before I even book shows or anything, I always ask her because I want her to be comfortable.
Yeah, and I've always wanted to get into apparel and shoes and everything.
So she's into fashion.
Yeah, everybody's asking me, like, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? And at one point, I'm like, I'm going to be like, this is all me. This is Tyrain. Yeah. So when they ask what shoes I'm wearing, these are mine, the Tyrain ones at VladoFootwear.com, or these are mine, the Cleos at VladoFootwear.com. So.
Well, how fun is that to have a tennis shoe at 17?
The youngest to ever do it.
Shout out to Jill. Shout out to Hector. Because that's my team over at Vallado Footwear, and they
family.
It starts with a vision, and you got to get people to share your vision.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jill, Hector, as well as the whole staff over Vallado Footwear, they believed in the vision,
and they've supported me over the years.
Let me just give my shout out to Vallado Footwear, and why I love doing this podcast, Olympic and Bundy, is I can talk longer about topics and people that I've known in Los Angeles for a long time.
Of course,
you and I, Mike, have done the police giveaways at Christmas with Vallado Footwear being a donor.
Most
to
definitely.
The children that the LAPD is trying to empower during
Operation
holidays.
Shoes from Santa.
Yes, we've
done those a lot.
I've been
the
last two. Last
you've
three.
Been last three.
Last three.
Last
yep.
Three.
And I believe me, the Santa Claus outfit still fits.
Period.
You have to do it at Christmas.
Exactly.
So, Tyler, let me ask you about the giving back and the community service. That's what I love about Mike, is that that's part of his program. That's part of how he walks and how he talks. It's being a part of the community.
Right.
So were you doing stuff like that already, or did he help you build that platform?
He actually helped me build that platform. Before I met Mike, I was just doing TV shows, and I was doing auditions, and I was doing performing at high schools and middle schools. But then once I met him, he was like, we're gonna have to broaden it out. We're gonna have to add onto your repertoire. And he started taking me to like the Skid Row, give back to the kids at Skid Row.
That's right, you do that too.
We do that. Once a month, we're gonna start doing it again.
The rooftop. And then he gave me to the Operation Santa, and then it just started picking up with the charity and everything. So I was just like, okay, this is cool, because giving back to them, that's important, because they help you, and then that's your peers at that. Anything to help my peers, I will always do.
Well, what I love about giving back is that it makes you so appreciative for the gifts that you have.
Yes, and it makes you thank God every day.
And the fact that you can do it by just being you, that when they have that Christmas show and Mike can bring you up on stage, all you got to do is you.
Yes.
And that's giving back right there.
Anybody else, right? Yeah. You could just be you.
Yeah. Dad, when you see your daughter doing community service, how's that feel?
It feels great. You know, I'm just thankful that I have a kid like her, because to see the kids out there nowadays disrespect their parents and their elders, period. And you know, she's very respectful, you know, she loves kids, so that's a plus, you know. And I'm thankful.
So Vallado's spelled Mike,
VLADO, and you can't spell Vallado without the
LA.
I think you got it down. All right, so after a shoot, what other kind of clothing? I mean, because I'm thinking Kanye, he has the whole wardrobe.
I'm coming out with some clothing lines. I'm coming out with some merchandise. I'm sponsored by Champion right now. I have a backpack coming out with Sprayground backpacks. So yeah, we're broadening horizon. I'm dibbling and dabbling and everything, putting all my irons in the fire.
Well, I know in this day and age, because back when my hubby was doing, you know, back in the day, they sold records. Yeah. And they sold CDs. Yeah. And now it's just so different with the streaming services. Mm-hmm. And the
everything's at your fingertips now.
And people want
merch. The TikTok, yeah. though?
No.
Now the TikTok.
What's
the
that?
TikTok is the old Musical.ly. The Musical.ly
okay,
app.
Yeah.
So Asia bought it. And now it's global and it's called TikTok. So now TikTok, now the TikTok has been making so many artists famous and getting them record deals.
Yeah.
So now the record deals want TikTok to pay all the record labels now.
Yes.
Because of the fact that...
Changing game, huh?
They're trying to change the game again.
They're going to change it up as much as they can.
Yeah.
Well, okay. All right. So, Chino, you've been in the business to see these different generations of artists come along.
Yes.
How is it different when it comes to the merch? You got to have... They've always had merch. They've always had the rock t-shirt.
Exactly. Right.
But the merch game is the tennis shoes and the clothing and the jewelry and the...
Yes. So competitive.
Yeah, it's very competitive out there right now.
You
it's
just
like,
have to make sure your clothes stand out and it doesn't look like everybody else's. And it's like...
Whatever
and it
you put out, stand
and,
out.
Yeah, and it represents you.
But also, too, I'm thinking how little you artists make on streaming. What is it, like 8 cents?
Yeah.
It's like pennies on a dollar.
Right.
Yeah. And it's you're pretty much on this, like, what, Pharrell? For
he
instance.
Just made $200,000. I was like,
it was
what?
Like, no, it was like 12,
it was like
200
million 200
streams,
million streams.
And he made $2,400.
$2,400.
So, like, wow.
200 million. Now, just think about that. 200 million streams.
Yeah.
And you only make $2,400.
Well, you know, I work with youth in foster care, and so I had mentored a rapper along the way who came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we put his stuff on one of those sites, and I said, mm-hmm. We've made 40 cents. Yeah. We've made 40 cents.
40 cents.
You know?
Hey. It's yours.
We were making some
That's
money.
Right.
Exactly. Hey, so, you make 25 cents over than what you spent. Yeah, mm-hmm.
There
right.
you go. But point being, I think you've got to have extra content product to get paid these days.
To even make it in the industry.
Yes.
Definitely. Or and you get a lot of artists that don't understand that, like when we're talking about the management, if you don't have anything to manage, you don't need a manager right away. So, but you get a lot of artists that automatically assumes that they should be getting paid, that they earned it. They're an artist. Somebody told them that they were the hottest on the block.
Yeah.
And the first thing that they say is, well, how much am I getting paid? Well, you haven't even sold a record. You can't even bring 10 people to a show that
That's
I
right.
book you to.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll tell you, I have millions of fans online. But those people online cannot make it to your show for some reason. And so that's what I think is happening now is that we have so many yes men that are telling you you should be signed, you should
right.
be that. But the very first time your music comes out and you ask them to spend 99 cents on it and they're your friends or your homies,
right?
They can't even spend 99 cents. They'll tell you to burn it for them.
Mm.
And it's like in this industry, it's all about the numbers.
Yes.
And now they've found ways to falsify the numbers.
Absolutely.
So the streaming is just
you don't
what
know
it is.
Real.
You don't know what it is.
So
it's like, what are you doing aside of that? Because like you said, Mr. Vaughn, you automatically, if you're not doing something other than, like, if you're not doing merchandise, if you're just expecting to get a check off your music, you're going to be waiting for a long time.
Or
doing shows. You know what I mean?
That's where you get paid. That's where the artists really get paid, when you tour.
Right.
Yeah.
That money is all there.
She's been on two tours already.
Yes.
Well, I know. I so wanted to go to the show that was downtown.
Yes.
You were with Yo-Yo.
Miss Yo-Yo. Shout out to Auntie Yo-Yo.
Love her.
Yes. Shout out to her.
She'll be on here, though. She'll be coming on here with you.
I have to get her. Well, I wanted to have the women rappers on my podcast because I've been down to the Crush Groove concert, and it's a lot of men on stage.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, I love my Crush Groove, but it's a lot of men. You know, the DJ Quick and Snoop and Bone Thugs.
And
so
Down.
a shout out that you were there with Yo-Yo.
Yeah, she actually, we actually performed the I Want to Be Down remix, and I actually was blessed to do Miss Queen Latifah's part. Shout out to you, Miss Queen Latifah. And I performed my Petty remix, and it was just an honor performing with her. It was really dope.
I saw the video clip.
Yes.
How fun was it to look out? You're right there. It was the Staples Center Forum.
The forum,
right. I saw the forum in the background there. I mean, how was it to just see the crowd turn out like that?
It was dope. I love performing. So looking at the crowd, that they had a whole bunch of energy, so that gave me more energy. So I was just like, this is what I love to do.
Let me say, you are so confident on that stage. Dad,
Thank
are you ever
you.
Shocked when you see
Thank
you're
you.
Like, is that really my teenage daughter?
Yeah. Sometimes it do catch me off guard because yeah. I'm like, wow.
She's so confident.
She's, woo.
Yeah.
Like everybody asks me, do you get nervous? Or I'm like, I don't get nervous. I just go in there. I just feel like it's home. Like you walk into your house and you just feel comfortable. That's just where I feel comfortable at.
Yeah. Some people are naturals, right? Yes.
And I think I still don't think today it's even really hit her.
Uh-huh. Meaning?
Really hit her about like she's really performing with like the first queen of the West Coast that started in the rap industry.
Yeah. No, I think
me and him. Really, really sit back and be like, wow, she's really performing with Yo-Yo.
Like, she solidified like, her. She passed
like
the
we,
torch.
Like, we drove around in our cars. You can't play with my Yo-Yo. You know?
Yeah.
It's like they don't.
Yo-Yo and Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Right?
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah. Yes. Her friend Jordan, they were two young people young entrepreneurs in this industry, and they get a chance to perform with Yo-Yo and to get a chance to do MC Light and Queen Latifah's verse.
They're doing a lot
Keep
of things.
Dropping those names.
Wow.
They're doing
right
a lot
there.
Of things that kids wish they could do and praying they're going to do.
Yeah. And
they're
she's
living
on
that
the,
life.
And she's on the ladies. It's called Ladies First.
Yeah.
It's with the Brat, Moni Love.
Yes.
Yo-Yo.
MC Light.
Well, I know MC Light. She's all about bringing the young people along.
Yeah. So she's gonna be. She's also gonna be performing with them. That's like.
Oh my gosh.
I know. They're just 17 years old.
A blessing.
Well, here's the thing. Not only do women like that want to groom the next generation, they want to protect the next generation,
Absolutely.
And they want to make sure you do it right.
And that's what it is. I think that's what it is because they do take their time. Yeah. They take their time on picking and choosing who they really want to pass the torch to.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see so much going on, especially when it comes to a lot of the women being portrayed on the internet.
Yeah.
That to when they heard about her story and that you don't have to get naked to make it and stuff like that, Yo-Yo just automatically, just like she reminds me of me.
Yeah. A lot of people says that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people look
that.
Like they'll have a picture on Instagram, and a lot of people be like,
"Is that your sister?
Is that your sister?"
Yeah, they always like your little sister.
It's crazy to see. I even looked at it. Was like, she really do look like her.
We're gonna get back to that line in a second.
Yeah.
Okay. But my story on Yo-Yo is, you know, I work with kids in foster care called Wednesday's Child. We try to give them a dream day so they have a day that they'll never forget. We had a girl who wanted to be a singer. I was told, okay, we're going to meet up at a record studio and she's going to learn to do a song. They'll produce a little song for her.
Nice.
And it was Yo-Yo mentoring.
Oh. Wow.
Nice.
And then I saw Yo-Yo maybe a year or so ago and she said, I heard from the family the girl did get adopted.
Wow.
And they wrote to talk about, you know, how memorable
experience.
That moment
that's
was.
Excellent.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And a lot of people always ask, Mike, how come you're not trying to make money in this? This is not about the money.
But you got to pay the bills.
I get it, but
absolutely.
That's not the reason I got into this. Mm-hmm. I got into this because I enjoy seeing the outcome of everybody's career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I enjoy seeing the smiles on the kids' faces and them actually feeling like they can learn.
Yeah.
Because, again, we are... You know, I look at life this way is we are, I mean, God is the roots and the tree trunk. We are
the branches
that hang low enough for the kids to pick the fruit.
That's well, look, right. The fact that you get to do what you love.
And wake up and do that, oh, man,
wow.
That's just
every
like,
day,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Tyler, what was that line that Mike dropped there?
You don't ever have to get naked just to make it.
Dad, you must love that.
Man.
Preach
that's
that.
All I can say, preach.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like we look on social media today and all the women are, you know, being promiscuous, sexual, and all everything. And a lot of the young girls are following that. And a lot of the young girls are looking up to that and everything. So I just want to show them, like, you can do what you want to do in life and be successful with your clothes on and be fully clothed and don't have to, like, sell sexuality. You can sell sensuality, but not sexuality.
I was going to ask you also about the language in some rap music, because I listened to the radio version, and I was driving some of my youth down for a little show they had, and they had their, you know, internet music playing, and I my head swiveled around. What are you listening to?
Yeah,
because I never heard that version.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
What about the language?
I mean, it's crazy because it's promoting violent things and everything, but then it's just like we have kids out here who are making it famous, so there must be people out there listening to that type of music. I don't personally listen to that type of music often. I listen to like the Oldie But Goodies and everything, but when I do listen
Dad's influence.
Yeah, that's the dad's influence. But when I do listen to that music, I'm just like, wow, this is what really music has come to. We got to bring it back to where it's like you listen to the music and you feel it, and it's just like you have to.
I got a secret to say to tell.
Breaking news.
This is a secret. I gotta just put this out there. When we're traveling and we're on the road, people think Tyler is listening to just hip hop. Tyler is listening to, we have a station that we have on Pandora, and it's called the Delphonics. So she hears all the old school songs, and she's in the back seat the whole time sleeping, and she's like, now it got to the point that when we travel, like go to Vegas and stuff like
that's
that,
right,
she'll say, are you guys going to put on your music?
Right.
Because it must put her to sleep or it gets
it
her.
It puts me to sleep and it just makes me calm. And then I don't just listen to rap music. I listen to pop. I listen to the Katy Perrys and the Kesha's and the Lady Gaga's and the Carrie Under. Like, I listen to that music
more. She's very musically inclined.
Yes. Like, I was just listening to Celine Dion the other day, and I was just like rocking out into my room to Celine Dion and NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. Like, that's the music I listen to. I listen to the real music. So
I love it.
Yes.
I want to hear more about your message. What is your message in your music?
My message, I have a very obvious message, and I get naked just to make it. I talk about things in my life. I talk about the hip things that my peers listen to, like, you know, the chains and everything. But then I also tell them on the flip side, like, look, y'all can do this, this, and that, but be a boss and get your bag and do this and do that. But then it's also, like, still party-ish at the same time where everybody understands, where they pay attention. I also have very catchy hooks, because hooks are 50% of your songs. They're going to remember your hooks, so I make my hooks very catchy and everything. So it's just, like, party but message songs.
Feel-good music.
Feel-good music.
Okay, you have a new song
called Yeah.
We should play a clip of it. You about your music after winning the Rap Game season 5.
Yes.
What did that do for you? Where did it take you?
Musically, I was a rapper on the show. Everybody saw the rapper side of me, but what people don't know is that I'm an artist. So after the show, I met up with this very amazing producer named Indian Trap. Shout out to Indian Trap. And yeah, shout out to Indian Trap. And we got in the studio and we just like made music. Like, we didn't just make like rap music. We also made like pop Indian music, rock Indian music. So it was just, after coming off a Rap Game, I was like, okay, they saw the rapper side. Now they're about to get a piece of the artistry. Like, they're getting the artist side of Tyler right now. They're not just going to get rap music. They're going to get me singing. They're going to get me doing pop, rock, R&B, rock, trap, everything all in one, where it's like, it's a new lane. It's a new lane called trap.
Yes, indeed. Trap. That's our new lane.
Trap, pop, and rock.
I like it. Well, I know I talk to some of the young people, and I'm like, well, are you a rapper? Because you kind of flow, too. And they use the word artist.
Yes.
I'm an artist.
Yes.
Okay. Now, with the show, what comes with it? What does an artist get, well, after being on a show like that?
a platform. It gives you a platform. That's what the TV show gives you, is a platform and experience, and it gives you things to walk away with. So that's what it gave me, and it also gave me a chain to walk away with too.
What about your social media numbers? How does that change?
Man, I went on the show with 12,000 followers. That's what I went on the show with. The cast got leaked by the audience. I was at 15,000 in 2 days. Wow. Once I got off the show, I went to 20,000. The show came on the first night, I jumped to 60,000. The first night of the show came on, I jumped to 60,000. And throughout the week, it went up, and then I just hit 100,000. So
it makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. Like, I got logged out of my Instagram once because about all the amount of followers I got. Like, in one night, once the finale premiered, I was at 80,000. That same night, I hit 95,000, and I could not post anything on my Instagram.
Yeah,
and my Instagram was broke.
Yeah, they shut it down. Yeah. It like glitched her.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Too many numbers coming in.
Too many numbers coming in too fast. And
that's
it just
exciting.
Stalled. She was upset.
I couldn't post anything. Brands were emailing me like, you have to post your ad, and I'm like, I can't.
We started posting for her.
They started posting my hair ads and everything for me. Cool. So,
and then some of her fans started posting, you know, get her out of Instagram jail.
Instagram, don't you understand with a reality show?
Yeah.
When somebody wins.
Absolutely.
Yes. So that's what I walked away with from Rap Game.
Well, now, you know, the nation knows who you are.
Yeah. No, it's about versus Tyler Rain. Yes, yeah. I go around when I'm on tour and everything, and they're just like, I feel like I know you. And I'm like, I know, because it's like you watch me on TV. They was like, no, but just by all your Instagram and your YouTube, like, I feel connected to you. And that's the goal at the end of the day, because I want my fans, my family, to feel connected to who I am.
And your family
my
name
personality.
Is?
Rain Gang.
Rain Gang.
That's her.
Rain Gang.
Okay, you should spell your name for those that are listening.
TYELERREIGN. Rain.
The thing is,
like superiority. Like, gotcha. Superior, queen of the land, that type
reigning
of.
Reigning over the land.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I know when you Google your name, TYELER for Tyler,
yes,
you're the only one that pops up with the Tyler with that spelling.
Hello.
Whose idea was that?
That's actually my middle name.
That's her middle name.
Like, that's my middle name, so.
But isn't it cool when you, like, Google her and she pops up? She's, like, in
it's
the search engines?
I wake up in the middle of the night and do it just to make sure. Like, that's my daughter. Like,
it feels weird.
Because, you know, when she was born, in my eyes, she was already a star. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, Dad.
She was a star. But to see her come out into the world and do what she loves to do and other people accept it, it's nothing like it. I don't have to say anything. It's like they speak for me.
Okay, and you have a son also.
Yes, Caden, 13 and years old.
He wants to be an actor.
He wants to be an actor.
You are one entertainment family.
It's a blessing. Yeah. It's
crazy.
And he doesn't want to rap, Tyler?
No.
But he loves music now.
But
he's a very old soul too.
He listens to Elton John, Queen. He listens to a whole bunch of music too. So it's like he's a part of the music family, but he's like, I'm going to leave that up to my sister to do the music part, and I'm going to do the actor part.
So let's talk about the hard part of the biz. You're only 17.
Yes.
I know you've been doing this a while, so you know the game. You know how it works.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about, because people think I would love to do that.
No,
it takes
sacrifice. Like, I've sacrificed a lot. I've dedicated my life to this. Like, you have to be willing to sacrifice things in order
to get to what you need to get to,
and you have to be prepared for the long nights and the times that you want to give up, where you cry every single night. You have to be prepared.
I've done that too, just so you know.
You have to be prepared for all the no's, and no, you can't do this, and no, you're whack, no, you're this. You have to be able to roll with the punches and take those and allow those punches to make you stronger. Don't let you, like, fall behind in everything.
Okay,
so.
And you kids have it rough on social. I mean, I get some of it, too, and I'm like, oh, I can't imagine being a young person
it got worse after the, well, it got worse during the show. Because
I would think.
Your life was literally on display for 10 weeks, so it got worse during the show, but,
and
you
people,
know.
People tell you what they think.
Yeah, like, I had to stand up for one of my sisters on the show. Her name is Naya, and I was like, this bullying has got to stop. Like, you guys are sending death threats to somebody that I really care about. You guys are, like, making my sister feel worthless, and that's why I was just like, you know, stand up on up speed.
Death threats about a person on a reality show.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about it, it wasn't their peers. It was adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was adults doing that.
Like, I had to write a full paragraph not to be like, yo, y'all need to stop with all the bullying. Y'all need to stop all the cyberbullying. You guys need to, like, leave her alone. Like, she didn't do anything. She did what she was supposed to do on the TV show.
And you guys had to.
And it was the parents. And I was like, you guys got to be ashamed of yourself shaming a kid like this. Like, what if this was your child?
Right.
Well, you know, working in news, I don't get too much of what they, I guess they call the haters. But I've gotten it. Yes. I've gotten it. And, you know, I'll be honest, it doesn't feel good. Kind of hurts your feelings.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Kind of hurts your feelings.
Like, I had to take a social media break for a good 2 weeks because it was like, yeah, no. Like,
yeah, I had to get off of social media
just so I kept a positive state of mind. I just kept a sanity to myself where it was just like, okay, and then I would talk to my therapist and everything. So then through those 2 weeks, my parents were supportive. Mike was supportive. Yeah. All my fans were supportive of that decision. And it was just like, okay, let me just take these two weeks.
People can say some rude things.
And
coming from an adult,
mean
you would
things,
think.
Very mean things.
Very mean. Yeah. Coming from adults, you'd be like, you know better.
Yeah.
What are you, is that what you teach your kid? You're coming off like a kid. And it was just like, at times, I had to call him and be like, I'm going to have to step in. I'm going to have to speak my piece. He's like, just relax. Don't do it. You know what I'm saying? But,
I tell my husband, let's sleep on it for a night. let's not just spout off and say what we really think.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's
exactly.
sleep on it for a night and handle it in a kind way.
But I think you go to the defensive mechanism.
Yeah.
Automatically. Sure. So I think that's what it was, and him being, you know, her father and stuff, and I have kids as well, but I get it. So I get it, but at the same time, it's always good for somebody else to be, you know, on the outside looking in and say, okay, now let's just relax. I know, but this is what we signed up for.
Man.
So let's, you know. Yeah.
So let me just say, Tyler, I love that you're talking about seeing a therapist and being in therapy because in this day and age where mental health care is a really prominent issue, the fact that you're talking about going to talk to someone when you need to.
Yes.
Is such a great message.
Yes. Yes, it is. Because it's like, we need people to talk to outside of our parents and everything. So we just need a time where it's like, whether it's an hour, 30 minutes, where you just vent and you feel so much better about it. Mm-hmm. So that's what they put me through, just to make sure like I kept my mind straight and I just kept my sanity for what I was about to go through and everything. So
I think it's an extra set of eyes and ears who might see something a little differently.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Or paint the picture. Or just how you look at the greater message.
Yes.
The greater plan here.
And to give you things that will help you work through it. And if you know your triggers, they can help you do that.
Yes, your triggers.
Coping mechanisms.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's funny because I'll share this, and Oscar knows this story too. Oscar's our producer, Oscar Flores.
Shout out to Oscar.
Woo! Oscar on the board's here.
Oscar's got the gadget, you guys.
Somebody's got to handle the technical side. But
All of you are too kind.
Yeah. Oscar knows this story, and maybe parents, you guys can relate to this. Somebody got into it with me about something I'd posted, and then he just went off on me. And then his last line was, it doesn't matter anyway, you're old and irrelevant.
Wow.
And I'm like, do we have to go that low?
Right. That's what I'm saying. They say some hurtful stuff.
You already know. I'd have been like, well, I'm on the news. And
right.
you watch me every night.
You watch me every night.
Where are you at?
I see you peeking, but you ain't speaking.
What I want to say is, and yet you're on my page.
Right.
You're still following me.
I hit people with that. That you don't like what you see, then unfollow me. And they hit me with the, oh, my God, you're not great, but you follow me. You're a part of my 100,000. Why are you hating? Like, no.
Haters are our motivators.
Yeah. The
funny thing is, I used it in a speech.
That's right.
I had a keynote speech last week and I used it. It was a great line because I thought, well, gosh, I'm fairly thick skinned. I've been in the business a long time and maybe I am getting older and I'm probably irrelevant to some and relevant to some, you know.
It really only matters
that I'm relevant to my niece, okay?
That's right.
You know, to my niece is all that matters.
Exactly.
But I thought, okay, this man wanted me to know how he felt about me. So I'm like, what do the athletes go through? What does, like, you know, Shaq go through?
I know.
And Kobe.
Oh, man.
And LeBron.
Just imagine. Oh, wow.
So I think we're, like, now kind of in an era with social media that we all get it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We definitely all get it.
No matter if you're known, if you're not known, like, you get it all across the line.
I tell them ahead of time. I say, look, I already know. I'm fluffy. And I'm, so I give it to them first so they don't have nothing to say.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think we all, at times, you know what I'm saying, need to take a break from social media because it can get to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's what you ask yourself.
Yeah.
When 80% of the people, what's the first thing they do when they wake up?
Oh, yeah, grab the phone.
Grab their phone.
Got to check my Instagram.
Absolutely.
I got to see who liked my photo from last night. Am I right?
That's what it is.
It's
you get up, you brush your teeth. Even before you brush your teeth.
Oh, no, I just reach over there.
You grab your phone and look at your phone. Then you go to the bathroom.
As you walk into the bathroom, you're looking at your phone.
And if you're in the bathroom doing a number two, your leg will fall asleep before you get off.
Yeah.
That's too visual a picture for me on this podcast.
Like everybody, you know what? Everybody's laughing right now because they've done it.
Well, you want to multitask.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tyler, talk about the summer. What's your schedule for the summer?
Oh, we got BET. We got some more filming for some TV shows. We got music videos coming out. We got more shoes coming out. We got a clothing line coming out. It's a lot going on in the summer. Y'all just got to stay tuned and follow me on Instagram at Rain Tyler.
I thought summer was for vacation.
No, I don't.
We call it a workcation.
And you know, June 22nd, 20th through the 23rd is BET weekend.
It's BET weekend.
And you're all about that big mic.
We on overdrive all through them days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as we start to wrap up the podcast here, I want to let you all leave some final thoughts as to the whole nature of this podcast. And, Dad, I want to ask you, your daughter's 17.
Yes.
What's your hope for her? What's your concern for her? How do you want to protect her?
Well, in all, I just want her to love and live life. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it. Enjoy the process. Enjoy being who you are in your skin and blessing the world with the gift of songs. And, that's about it.
We've seen some of our young stars and celebrities that we've watched growing up have some tough times as they get older. How do you watch for that?
I watch for it, but I can read her very well. So when I read her, as well as Mike, we can read her because we're the ones that travel.
We can look at her.
We already know what she's thinking. So it's like on the road, we're family. Like if I'm not there, he's there. You know what I'm saying? If he's not there, I'm there, and then we're there together. So
Great support system.
Yeah. It's a family. Yes. That's the main thing. I've always wanted her to get with someone that could be a part of our family who believes in her.
And had a human side, didn't just look at me as an artist.
Right.
Looked at me as a human.
And because Mike has five daughters, I couldn't ask for nobody better to be my partner.
Oh, I gotcha.
You see what I'm saying?
I guess, Tyler, when I look at you, I think, man, when I was 17 and all the bumps I've had along the way, and like you even talked about tears along the way and the breakups along the way and the makeups along the way.
Yeah.
I mean, life can have those bumps along the way. And it's part of the growing up.
Yes.
It's part of the growing up and becoming who we are as adults. So, Mike, your thoughts for Tyler?
My thoughts for Tyler Rain is to continue to live life, continue to be, you know, comfortable at what she's doing. Because if she wants to turn and do something else, then we're there for her. I just want her to make sure that no matter what that she has in her life to be successful is to always think about giving back and always understand that the three important things to follow:
God, family, and education.
Go on.
Yeah. So those are those three values in life that I want her to follow. And no matter what she does, what she ends up doing in the future, she'll be successful no matter
Why
what.
Why am I envisioning a Queen Latifah route?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to drop the mic right there.
Yeah, because we talked about that. That's crazy that she spoke.
Talk show acting.
Oh, wow.
Listen to this.
Wow.
I mean, right?
No, I didn't talk to her, you guys.
Mike's like, I didn't say anything.
Well, you know, I interviewed LT Hutton recently, and he produced the All Eyes on Me movie, the Tupac
movie. Yes, he did.
He was a dancer.
Yes.
Now he's got all kind of deals in the
Ventures.
Works.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You think of Nipsey Hussle, who was an entrepreneur well.
The marathon continues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So where do you want to be 5-10 years?
A mogul. I'm going to be on my 700th tour. I want a clothing line. I want to just take over. I'm going to show them like a little brown girl like me, fully clothed, can make it for you. And I'm setting an example now. Like, it's okay to do whatever you want to do, and it's possible to do it as well.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you all for coming down to Olympic and Bundy. That's our podcast here in West LA.
Thank you, Mike, for having us.
I was telling you off mic that I love this because it can breathe. It's a conversation. My newscast is what, a minute 30, our story that we did on you? Like
exactly.
2 minutes?
2 minutes,
and
yeah.
Now we can really,
yeah, we
know,
can really
share
go in depth and share the message with everybody. This is, I mean, I'm proud of you. I mean, God
I'm
works in mysterious ways.
This.
It's like, this is awesome because of the fact that, again, you can really dig deeper and really tell the story without telling it in 2 minutes.
And it's comfortable.
Know?
This is
comfortable.
It definitely is.
I feel sorry for our producer, Oscar, because we're supposed to do one a week. I'm like, I got another one. But it's all these people like you, Mike, that I've met over the years that have a story to tell. And now that you're bringing someone along, Tyler Rain, we thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, shout out everybody out there, too.
Yeah, shout out to Yo-Yo. Shout out to KJ. Shout out to Indian Trap. Shout out to Mommy. Shout out to
Kaden.
Big Mike. Shout out to Kaden.
CC, Momo.
Shout out to Momo. Shout out to Jordan. Shout out to all the young artists out there that's doing it. This is not easy. So I commend y'all. We need to uplift each other as fellow friends in the music industry.
And just
industry.
Believe and you can achieve.
Yep.
That's
so
right.
If somebody's young watching you thinking, gosh, I'd love to do what she does.
Do it. Believe in yourself. Don't let nobody tell you no. Them no's is gonna come along the way, but it's all gonna take is that one yes to get you there. So
and I will add this final thought here. Also think of what else you can do in the business.
Absolutely.
You can be like dad here, a
yes.
vocal
right.
coach.
You can be a manager.
A manager.
You can be
like
a marketing manager.
You
can
be Oscar here working our electronics.
That's right.
Shout out to Oscar. Shout out to
Oscar
one more
Oscar with all the gadgets.
Yeah.
Mr. Gadget.
And then as we leave, we kind of wrap up the podcast with our music. And so I want to give out a shout out to DJ Reaper, one of our local DJs.
DJ Reaper.
Yep, who provided our podcast music just like that. All right, you can find this podcast, Olympic and Bundy, wherever you find your podcast, and feel free to subscribe. We'll do more. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.